Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. I'd like you to focus on the word find. Who can find a virtuous wife? The Bible talks about finding. Before finding comes searching. We have to search before we can find. It applies to the man looking for the wife. But I believe in today's context, it applies both ways. The new covenant is slightly different from the old covenant. In the old covenant, Jesus has not come yet, and women has not found a place where God wants them to be. Remember, after the curse in Genesis 3, women's place in society dropped down. In the Old Testament, you find that the role of a woman is very low, both in society and in the priesthood, in the religious area, in all areas of life. That is in the Old Covenant, because the redemption has not manifest yet. Although from time to time we do find exceptional women like Esther and Deborah, but generally you find that they are in the background. Somehow in the New Covenant, some things have changed. Where the Bible tells us that today in Christ, there's neither male nor female. So in the New Covenant, the women have tasted redemption in Christ. We have all been redeemed from the curse of the law. And as a result, we can expect that there is a restoration of the role of the women in the church, in society, and all over the world. And so, when we talk in terms of searching and finding, I'd like to apply to it both from the perspective of the man looking for the wife, or the wife looking for the wife. Excuse me. God help them if the man looking for the wife was somewhere around. And it is the man looking for the bride, and the bride looking for the bridegroom. In other words, the boy looking for the girl and the girl looking for the boy. It will apply to both sides. So, when we talk about the Word of God and depending on God and trusting God for our life partners, we must realize that definitely we have a part to do. Sometimes people think that they have no part to do, and that's the part that I'm going to touch on more tonight. On our role, the part that we have to play. All of us know that every area of Christian life, we have a part to play. If you have been baptized in the Spirit, you realize that when you speak in tongues, that the Holy Spirit does not force Himself through you, but you cooperate with Him, you yield your tongue, and you voluntarily speak words that come to you. And you know that when you pray for the sick won't get healed without some effort from people to exercise faith, to give prayers, to give intercession. So there are some things that we have to do. Spiritual growth is the will of God. But it doesn't just come and drop on us like ripe durians off a tree. Ripe apples off a tree, ripe cherries off a tree. It doesn't just drop on us like coconuts off the tree too. It doesn't just come. There are some efforts that we have to do. Even plucking coconuts, we know sometimes we have to send monkeys up the tree. So the same way, in some areas we have to train monkeys and we have to send them up the tree to get the fruit. There is some effort that we have to do. And it comes to life partner, many times people leave everything to the Lord. Say, Lord, you do everything. You do everything. Everything you do. I am just going to follow you wherever I go. Wherever I go. And after following the Lord for some time, you're wondering why the Lord has not given you your life partner yet. And you've been following Him for about 90 years. And you ask the Lord. The Lord said, why didn't you ask me earlier? So, remember there are some things that we have a part to play. If I did not make any effort, I would not be married today. All of you must know it was not that easy to get Amy. My, we were persecuted too. The first time I took her to see my parents, she happened to be the seminary president's pet. So I was touching the apple of his eye. And so we both had a firing from him. And I got on his black book. So there are some effort from our part. We must know what to do. And we are not talking about efforts that are done after you fall in love. Because sometimes, and most of the time, falling in love has to do just with infatuation. Christian love doesn't normally just happen that way. It takes time to grow and develop into love. So basically, there is a finding that needs to be done. You do the finding, God will do the giving. It is our part to do some effort. Now, we have to be balanced here. You can go to one end where you say, Lord, you do everything. And you don't depend on the Lord. And after staying this side, you swing on the pendulum and you go right onto this other end. And you do everything. You become like a... What name did they call that guy? Romeo. And every time you go for a meeting, that's all you look for, life partners. By the time you reach this stage, you are backslided. And you will need to repent and come back to balance again. We are not talking about going over on this extreme here. But there are some simple things that we need to realize is our responsibility that we need to do. Basically, let's define it. A life partner or someone whom you marry and you choose to marry for life is supposed to be someone who becomes your best friend. Someone who could walk with you. Someone who could talk with you. Although some of them today do not talk to each other after 10, 20 years. It's someone whom you could relate together. You see, this is God's original plan. The book of Genesis, if you please. Genesis. Chapter 2. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, there was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle and the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. So for Adam, but for Adam... Verse 20 says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So man, aren't you glad that Adam didn't settle for a cow? What will happen if Adam say, God, I like this cow. This cow will be my companion. Aren't you glad, man? You better say a good amen. Otherwise, you ladies don't be here. We don't know what the world would be like without ladies. But, of course, God has all this in plan. He says, there was none comparable to him. What is he saying? That means that the life partner must be someone comparable to you. It must be a friend who could walk side by side with you in ministry and in life. Basically, a life partner is your best friend. Someone you could intimately know, spirit, soul, and body. Your best friend. Of course, today in some families, they don't make each other their best friend and they are wrong. They are doing a wrong thing. They try to make people outside the family the best friend. No, that is wrong. That is how families break out and break down. A life partner is supposed to be your best friend. Now, I understand that all of you have Jesus as the best of the best friend. But let me refer to Jesus as the best of the best friend. Cannot compare. So, I'm talking in terms of a person on this earth redeemed like you, not the Redeemer himself. That your life partner has to be comparable to you. Someone who is akin to you in some way. Now, I like that word comparable. That means that the life partner that God has in mind for you will be to a certain extent comparable to you. We use the word comparable. It does not mean that in all areas you do the same thing. Because there are some areas you differ. You don't brush your teeth the same way. You don't eat the same food. You don't like certain the same things in some areas. But generally there is a comparable movement together. And so in chapter 2, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam and his lamp and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So woman, you know, ladies, you know how you got your name? When Adam woke up from being slain under the power of God, there comes the woman, and she doesn't have any name at all. And Adam saw the woman, he said, "Woman." And so that is how she got her name. That's supposed to be a compliment to you, ladies. Anyway, so they got that woman, and when he has named the woman, it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So basically, in a marriage relationship, they are supposed to support each other and be one together. And verse 18, God says, "A helper comparable to man." So God is talking about a helper, someone to help along. Now we are talking all this because we have to define a life partner first. A life partner is a friend who knows you intimately, whom you allow to know intimately yourself, and who could do things together with you, and who could work out life together with you. In other words, we define it, our English word is limited, but we are limited to the word best friend. So we are all settled on that. We define life partner is your best friend. You may have other friends. Now remember, everyone in the body of Christ is supposed to be your friend, not your foe. But there's only one best friend you have, your life partner. So if you have not found your life partner, means you have not found your best friend. You got a lot of friends, some very good friends, some okay friends, some not quite okay, but still friends. See, all are supposed to be your friends in the family of God. Having defined that a life partner is your best friend, then we come to the second point. If your life partner is supposed to be your best friend, that means the meeting of your life partner will be among friends. Very simple logic. But people miss it. They are sitting down and meditating under the coconut tree. God, give me a vision. What she or he will look like. One fine day, there's a monkey on the coconut tree. Throw something down. Clang! Oh, got it! I saw the vision. So, some people just violate natural. Do you know that in the physical, if we violate natural laws, we also can get sick? Natural laws are not made for violating, but they are made to be superseded from time to time by spiritual laws, that's all. But not purposely violating them. In the same way, there are certain social laws that are there. If you keep hiding yourself in a cave, you call the cave Adullam Cave, or somewhere, and believe that by your meditation, I don't know what you're meditating on there, and you could somehow manifest a life partner, then you are falling back on the fallacy of the first part where we say that you think and you believe that only God is responsible, you have nothing to do. No. Your life partner will be met among friends. Most people, 99%, I give 1% of exceptional cases, but still they do meet, except shorter time. 99% of people whom they marry, they always know them. Some know for 10 years, some know for 5 years, some know for 1 year, some know for 1 month. Very few know for 1 day. Even those arranged marriage, which is a custom in some Indian families, they arrange. But even though they arrange, they do still meet in modern times. Of course, in olden times, you are at the mercy of your parents. Aren't you glad? So even though today, the custom still prevails, I want you to know that God's word prevails over custom. The parents can arrange all they want to, but you will still have to sit down and check the person out. Otherwise, you may end up a gorilla whom you do not want, right? Someone who does not fit into the will of God for your life. Everyone who gets married always marries somebody they have made friends with to a certain extent. There has to be a reaching out to form a friendship, whether it's a long time or a shorter time. There is a certain point of making a friendship. So there are certain laws involved in making friendship, in making friends. Like before Amy Grant, oh, you know the singer Amy Grant. Before Amy Grant was married, you know, sometimes when I look through Christian magazine, and I see her picture there, and I see her singing. I wonder who she's going to end up marrying. Because I know, from a teenager, she started singing, and she seldom has a chance to be live the normal life that most of us could live who are not famous. But being famous in her area as a singer, every time she, most of the time, was on the bus. School and singing, that's all. So I wonder how she's going to find her life partner or going to end up single. And sure enough, when later the magazine came in Christian Life, that she got married to one of those in her band. Now don't you think that's logical? Or she may end up with maybe the advertising manager, but it has to be someone who has related to you in certain ways. In certain ways. Unless there has been some pre-arrangement by other parties for you to meet together. Like your parents or your friends. Like some customs today. Somehow there has to be a meeting of minds. Marriage is a decision of your soul. Your will comes into the picture. So there has to be a meeting of minds at a certain point. It's quite obvious that most of the time when people marry, they marry people whom they met at a certain place in line with where they are. it's very seldom that out of the blue, it's just like they marry somebody, like a ninja jump out from the roof and say, let's get married. Dang, 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 dang. You know what a ninja is? Someone dressed all in black and with head covered with the two eyes just looking out. You don't even know who is that. These are called ninja marriages. And I don't marry people like that. I mean, I don't conduct marriages for people like that. Normally, when we conduct marriages, we ask them certain questions. How long they know? Because we want to sense in the spirit and know this is going to be a good companionship together. And they're going to last as long as they live. And so, there has to be a certain meeting, a general meeting. And so I have listed out certain points of why some people find it difficult to find a life partner and areas that we can deal with. Some of the causes, some of the reasons and causes for the difficulty which I've been touching. Having based a foundation about friendship, now we launch off into these points that I have here for you. Is that many have not developed the skill of getting along well with people and making friends. Now that is a problem whether you're looking for a life partner or you're not. There are cases, exceptions, who somehow or other they may be sitting in a corner and somebody comes along, likes them, and then they get to know and then they get married. But those are the exceptions rather than the rule. In general, there has to be a certain amount of getting along well with people and a person who makes friends easily. You will notice this. Those who marry easily, that's the word, marry easily. I find all my terminology breaking down here to define all these areas. What I'm talking about here is this. Those who seem to get married very fast, and of course they only married once, but they are people who get along well with many others, and they know many people. It's a part of their nature. In other words, those who seem to find their life partner easily are those who already have developed the area of making friends, just being friends with people. And we must not have ulterior motives. In our church, we are very strict. We do not encourage those under 21 to get involved. Can a parent say amen? There we are. So, we do not encourage that. We only encourage that those who are above 21, then they start thinking about serious marriage. The reason is this. Since the person is under 21, they cannot bear the responsibilities of marriage. So, put it out of their mind, grow spiritually first, 21 years. Then when you pass that age, then you can start settling. In other words, we are not restricting you from making friends. But what we are preventing is we do not want people to make friends with ulterior motives. That when someone is nice to you, a brother or sister is nice to you, you say, person likes me. The next day, wow, and then, you know, and you will only hurt yourself. You will only hurt yourself. So we have made it a rule for, and we encourage it to, we do not sort of declare it as thou shall not or anything like that. But we have an unwritten rule that goes for. And for those 21, we don't want them to think about all these areas. We just want them to grow spiritually. That's our emphasis. But for those above 21, that is where all these areas are going to help you. The basic skills of making friends must be developed. For some of us, it doesn't come easily. It did not come easily in my life. It did not come easily. It has to develop. The skill of making friends just for the wonderful blessings of having friends. Do you know having friends is a great, great blessing? genuine good friends. We both brothers and sisters. Don't restrict all your friends, brothers, to just brothers. Or sisters, don't restrict all your friends to just sisters. And then you start a funny looking church. You know, when they come to church, right at the door, they not only separate the toilets, they also separate the seats. Arrow says brother seat, sister seat. In some countries they do that. I heard that in India they do that. And I think something must correct the custom. You see, the very fact that their custom make it that way, it demands that the parents come in and make arranged marriages. Is it the weakness of their social setup caused it to be weak in the mixing around, so the people have no chance to mix around, they need help to get their life partner. They need parents to send teams and scouts and spies. Sounds like some KGB story. But if they will just break all these social customs and just, you know, the Christian fellowship, a Christian fellowship of just making friends. Now, we are very restrictive here. Although the Bible does talk about the holy keys, we do not have holy kisses among brothers and sisters here. And I doubt you can have a holy kiss. And in the Bible time, we put that forth as part of the way and their culture. It's just like some people would stress on, oh, we should follow every part of the Bible. Then one day you follow them by ropes. You look like a clown or so. So there are certain areas of customs that are peculiar to the people. So in all those times, at that time, that was the way of greeting. Even today, you go to the Israel, you find that the men kiss each other also. So that is a custom. And in some Western countries, they make it a custom, but I find that it's less practiced in the when people grow spiritually. Like in Australia, I mean, you just get pecked on the cheek all the time. Dangerous. And so one thing I find that as the people grow spiritually, they don't do that anymore. They just restrict themselves to shaking hands. I don't mind if an elderly lady, a grandma, you know, say hi Sunny, you know, and just give a peck on the cheek. I don't mind. But not someone who's too close in age. Then you have to have a special plastic. Anyway, so there are certain customs that cannot apply today. So you find that certain social customs become a hindrance, but the word where it shows that they are mixing freely, both brothers and sisters to a certain extent, shows that when Paul says there's neither male nor female, that they are allowed to mix each other, where you could have a good sister friend, a good brother friend, without ulterior motives. And even if later on you find your life partner, you could still keep those friends. They'll still be your good friends. Sisters and brothers in Christ. So it depends on the individual. If all the time you have ulterior motive, you have very few friends. But if you make friends, Christian friends, for the sake and the blessing of having friends, you would find it's very easy also to find a life partner. Because a life partner is the best friend that you have found. And you make a choice. So the making friends ability must come forth in our hearts and in our lives. The ability to just mix around. We're not talking about the worldly kind of being loose, or what some of you will understand the word, so I have to use this word cheap. But we are talking about genuine friends. Just being good friends. Friends to pray together. Friends to share the word of God together. Friends to discuss things. Now, we have to be discreet. There is only a certain distance, a certain limit you have to stop. Don't meet in this crowd. We're not going to ask you. But if you test yourself right now, and you find that you hardly know the rest of the people, you would also find it that it's difficult to find a life partner here. But if you mix around in your own office, you find that you tend to find a life partner in your office. So the conclusion goes together. You reap what you sow. You sow friendship, you reap friends. And when you reap friends, you reap the best friend also among your friends. So some people feel they cannot find a life partner in the church, but they could find it in the office. You know why? They spend more time in the office and they got to know the people there. But they cannot find anyone in the church because they don't get to know the people there. See the point? You reap what you sow. So God may have someone there, but do you know many times we could settle for second, third and fourth choice and miss it? God in His mercy forgive us. But we can miss it because we are not sensitive to areas in our life that we have to deal with, of mixing around and getting to know. If right now I have a survey and find out how many know each other, those of you who know, let's say, about 30, 40 people, will find it easier, and in fact, you may already, to a certain extent, have someone who is sensing the life partnership drawing together. But if I just take a survey and find that you know, you hardly know one or two person, or you may just know me, then you could not find nobody in the church. You only know the pastor, that's all. You couldn't find a life partner in the church. You reap what you sow. So the first problem is that people do not learn the basic skills of just making friends, Christian friends, good Christian friends as a part of the family of God. And to make friends, all the laws of making friends come in. The law of spending time together. Not just for say going aside, spending time together, but when you get involved in activities, when you get involved in Christian activities, those people you get involved with, you get to know them. When you go to camps, what happens? You have more time. More time, you can make more friends. To make a friend, you have to spend time. You have to invest time. Time is a commodity that you use to buy friends. You cannot buy with carnal goods because that won't be a true friend. But the commodity that you pay and you spend for is time. You take time in activities, you take time in Christian areas, and then you get involved with. So all the time the people you know is the choir, then in all probabilities, I won't be surprised you find someone in the choir. So if all the time your time is spending among the youth, I won't be surprised you find someone among the youth. If all the time you find your time spending among the senior citizens, I won't be surprised you find one in the senior citizenship. So, remember, you have to let the Spirit of God lead you. Now, here is where the spiritual part comes in. If God has a will for your life, a plan for your life, most likely, your life partner will be in some area that is involved in that area also. So that is why it's also quite important. We all have limited time. We don't have 40 hours a day. We have 24 hours a day. And within 1 week, all of us got a lot of programs, activities. The time that we can spare to just be with Christian, be with the Christian family of God is limited. So we have to pick and choose and say, there's so many programs, especially in this church, there's so many kinds of programs, so many house meetings. Every day there's something going on. So you have to pray carefully and say, God, is it my will for you to get involved here or involved there? Because somehow your involvement may lead to a life partner. Understand that? So it becomes even now more important whether you must get involved or not get involved in something. I'm not saying it will or it must, but it may. If what we have been touching all these covers together, then that is the area you're going to make friends in, and that's the area where you're limiting yourself straight away. So your involvement in all church activities, you must seek the will of God. whether God wants you to get involved in a certain area, or in a house fellowship, or in this place or that place, I can guarantee you, you will never, as a good Christian, you will sure not to marry someone you never know. You are sure to marry someone you have known. And by the way, don't marry someone just because you see a vision. Never talk to the person in the church. Never see, in fact, you didn't see the person before you got the vision of the person. And then, the other person, if the other person got a different vision, then at least it's okay. That means A got a vision of B, B got a vision of C. Then at least they don't get involved. At least when A tries to approach B, B says, sorry, you know, I got a vision of C, your vision from the devil lah. So at least at least they would be stopped from their foolish act. But this may happen. A get a vision of B, B also get a vision of A. They never talk to each other. And then straight away, dang, 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 dang. And then after the marriage, after the first week of the marriage, they find, hey, actually not God's will. What are you going to do? Remember, even though you may have a supernatural, spectacular way of God speaking to you about your life partner, you must not violate the normal laws of getting to know. Remember, we touched on how when we were training the leaders on operating the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes you sense impressions and visions. All these things that you sense must be checked by the number one thing, the inward witness. 99% of your leading is the inward witness. In other words, when I'm standing there ministering under the anointing of God, I may have three or four visions coming to me. How do I know that this is from God? My inward witness checks it out. There are some things that I see that I don't catch quite clearly, I don't quite fully understand it. I keep it aside because my inward witness does not tell me clearly. I obey the inward witness. Satan can counterfeit everything outside. He can counterfeit a dream, can counterfeit a vision, but Satan cannot counterfeit the inward witness because it's inside you. There's one counterfeit he cannot do. He can even counterfeit a voice, but he cannot counterfeit the inward witness. So it must not, no matter what spectacular way you have of your special leading that you know who is going to be your life partner, you must still check that out with the inward witness. It cannot violate this law. And some people marry just based on vision, and they found that God doesn't lead my vision all the time. In fact, usually it's 5% only at the most. 95% of the time you're led by the inward witness. You cannot base your life. You cannot base your life or major decisions of your life on spectacular. I don't want to use the word supernatural because the inward, although it's not spectacular, is also supernatural. It's a born again Christian. So the first factor we talk about is the making friends. This law is higher than all the other laws. Now all the other laws, you take it as supplementary. That is, if you have a dream, you have a vision, or you've seen all these things about the person to be your life partner, all these things is secondary. It must subject to the inward witness, and all these other areas of getting to know must come in, checking it out. And sometimes vision and dreams come because people think too much, or they just eat too much Big Mac before they slam. But most of the time is this: inside them, they already form a liking. So there is a spiritual meter inside. One side says no, one side says yes. So the meter has a needle. The meter says zero. So one side is negative, one side positive. And so they adjust the needle because they like the person to yes. So when they adjust the needle there, they are surely at one point going to have dreams, going to have visions, and they may even start having prophecies in that area. coming to them? Because sometimes prophecies come forth from the general atmosphere. What do you mean general atmosphere? Like for example, if you are sensitive and a person trained to be sensitive to spiritual things, remember Jesus perceived the thoughts of people? Remember the Bible Gospels? This is not a healing gift teaching, so I'm not touching details. Perceive the thoughts. Sometimes when a person has been thinking on something very much, when you get near them, their thinking sort of is picked up by your spirit. This is not mind reading. You don't read the person's mind, but you sense and you pick it up. And so some people who move in the gifts of the spirit will become ultra sensitive to this kind of things. When you move the gifts of the spirit, you're sensitive to every impression and thought that comes. They thought that the Lord is speaking to them about this area, and they go and give for a prophecy to confirm it. But all the while, the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit is not there, neither is the inward witness. Give you an example. Let's say Rani is thinking about going to United States. She thinks on it very much, and the desire has grown intensely, and it's a part of her thought life many times. This is an illustration. And so when I move into the spiritual gifts, you see, I put my antenna up and I move into that realm where I start, you know, being in that realm where Jesus moves. Sometimes you can perceive thoughts. I pick up that thought. Now when I pick up that thought, if I don't have a checker inside me, which some people who move in the gifts don't have, they don't realize that not every impression is the Holy Spirit. Some are just pick up straight thought. That I'm just picking it up, I may end up prophesying to her and say, I suddenly just have a loose thought that say about US. And I start prophesying that God wants her to go to US, which is completely out. Understand that? Now that is a different area. But I'm just illustrating, right? We're going to touch on all these things when we have a series on the good gifts and moving into the things of the Spirit. But here we are talking about how when a person starts thinking very much in the area and likes the person very much, the other person subconsciously may start picking it up also. And they may start taking it as a confirmation of the Spirit of God, where the Spirit was never involved. God was never involved. So it's always important to put our meter to zero. Zero means God, either yes or no, your will be done, not my will. It's very important. If you put your meter to yes, all you're wanting to hear is yes. God cannot say anything else to you. And you pick up some other stray thoughts. Or when God wants to say yes and you fix it to no, that wouldn't be right also. You have to seriously pray about it. Set your meter to zero. So here we talk about the first area of why some people find it hard to find life partners. It's because they haven't developed the basic skills of just making friends. Simple skills, but it could affect their whole life. Their whole life. Every one of those of you who already found a life partner or planning a marriage know that you choose your marriage date, right? I fixed mine on May the 10th. Although we can pray and ask God to say, Lord, when you like us to marry, which year? God won't tell you, you know. Oh, at 2 a.m. on the 30th of February, 1988. Then you know that you probably didn't hear from God. Because there's no 30th of February. So, all of you know that God lets you choose. God just tells you, and confirm in your heart, which I'm going to end up with, how you know that it's the real one, alright? It's the right one. I'm going to talk right towards the end. But you will know, you have the choice, the free choice to choose to fix it in December, to fix it in January, the time when it's conducive or convenient for both of you. God gives you that choice. It's wonderful. See, He didn't make us like robots. Turn left. Turn right. Get married. He doesn't make us a robot. He wants us to function like Him. He wants us to function like Him. Be free will beings. So He gives. There is a limit that He allows us to function in the free will. Go beyond that point, he starts stepping in. But within that limit, he allows you to move about. Just like moving in the anointing of God. When the anointing of God is there, you're going to lay hands on people, and you know the power of God is going to go through them, you could lay hands this way, you could lay hands this way. You could lay hands this way. Alright? But lay your hands. That's what the Holy Spirit says, lay your hands. So God gives you the freedom. God gives you the freedom to function, to move in. Within a certain limit, He draws the limit that you can move in. So the first point we consider in the law, in why some find it difficult to find life partners, is because they don't develop these basic areas. And they don't pray seriously enough about activities that come. I believe that if you just flow in what God wants you to do, that's what we're talking about, those who are obedient. If you're really obedient to God, you find your partners easily, because when God tells you to get involved in certain things, you get involved. God tells you to get involved in that fellowship, you get involved and get here. And so you're so obedient and you're just flowing along, and then there is the person whom God has prepared for you. You just make friends and you get to know. But it's serious when you realize that every small decision we make has an effect on the other areas of our life and ministry. Making friends. Let's look at the second point. Why some people find it hard to find life partners is what I put here. Now, all these points, I have fasted and I prayed, and nothing came, but one night at about 12 something before I slept, the Holy Spirit woke me up. No, I give you all the points. So I just got up. Okay, good night, Lord. Slept. That's how I get some of my sermons. And that doesn't mean that I don't do anything, right? I do fast, pray, seek the Lord. The second point that he points to is unreasonably high standards. Or I may put it, ridiculous high standards. What do we mean? Some people put their standards so high like a wall, but even a monkey couldn't climb through. Unreasonable high standards. We must realize that we must have some standards. But don't make it so unreasonably high. Even the way we move in our church services, we have certain standards, but we don't make it unreasonable. We have certain standards on whom we allow to come and prophesy, but generally the people are allowed. But we have certain guidelines too. When serious things move out of the spirit, we have certain guidelines. So we have standards, but we cannot put it. I personally have very high standards. But when we start involving other people, let's say in a ministry, we have to give room for honest mistakes. We have to give room for growth, because we, each one of us, have made our own mistakes in life, big and small. So sometimes people put such a high standard that the only person who possibly could have married them was Jesus Christ. But he is our Lord and God. He is not interested in all these things. So don't put it so high. Have just reasonable areas. And don't take every point that you have, that some of you have listed down, so strict. Person must be 6 foot 1 inch. And the person comes 6 foot 3/4 inch. Fail. Don't be so drastic. Because that may be the person whom God has for you. Because you didn't know that after the person marry you, the person has something in the back that you lay hands on, the quarter inch come. And become 6 feet 1 inch. So remember that have reasonably high standards, but not ridiculous high standards. Some people put their point for their life partner, oh, the person must have fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Read the Bible 2 hours a day. Pray about 4 hours a day. The person has nothing else to do but holy, holy. Reasonable high standard. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. So now when we are touching on all these points, it's going to get closer and closer to you. You have to, may have to re-examine certain points. Now when you write down certain points that the Holy Spirit may give you, every one of you to a certain extent has some idea what your life partner will be. Except some of you may have written it, some of you have not written it, some of you have break it down into detail, some of you have not. But all of you would have at least a faint idea of what your life partner will be like. But when the time comes that you really specify certain points, you must divide the points to essential point and compromising point. That means you're willing to give and take on a certain point because the point you listed may be a good point, but that point may come after the person married you, not before. Where you may say that the person must be a good teacher of the word. And when you meet the person is, looks more like a dumbbell. And the person fits 4 of your 5 points. You look at her and say, how can this dumbbell? God, I know I like wedding bells, but not dumbbells. You never know, because after you marry this person may turn out to be Smee Wigglesworth. When Smee Wigglesworth, wife married Smee Wigglesworth, all Smee Wigglesworth could say was broken English. In fact, he hardly could read and write. And he was just a plain plumber. But he's such a powerful man of God that even people like Kenneth Hagin look to him. You know Kenneth Hagin's number one mentor, Smee Wigglesworth. He mentioned that in one of his tapes. But during the marriage, they both loved the Lord. The wife began to put her upbringing and live and standards into him. And he grew. His English improved. And he learned to read. He learned to read the Bible. And he became such a powerful preacher. So remember, behind every dumbbell is a Smee Wigglesworth. The point number 5, that the person is a teacher, he could be a Jerry Savelle. Do you know Jerry Savelle was spiritually lower than his wife? His wife is a very good teacher. But all of you have heard Jerry Savelle, know he's a very good teacher of the word. But it came after his marriage, not before. Now, remember, we're talking about finding love partner, we're not talking about other areas. There are other rules in a marriage, and one of those rules is don't try to change thy partner. Or thou may find no more partner. So, let God change them, remember that. So, I cover this point, I have to touch on that because some of you may have wrong ideas that you know, if a person doesn't fit the other points, you know, and they say, never mind, after you hear these things tonight, you go home, never mind, 1 point enough. So, after 1 point, tang, 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 tang. And then, the second day of the marriage, sit down and say, now you listen here. This, here are the other 4 points that you're supposed to fit in. And so, from day number 2 of the wedding onwards, I'm going to teach you and rub this into you. Wow. You will blow your marriage. Remember that. It's vitally important for you that when you list down your points, there are certain essential points. A person born again, or you know, a person who loves the Lord. All these are essential points. But there are certain non-essential points that you must be willing to compromise. If you are not willing to compromise, you have to re-examine your priorities and your standards, whether they are what we call number two, unreasonably and ridiculously too high. Too high. You literally build a wall around you. And then after finishing the wall, everything, decorating the wall, there's no way out of the wall. You say, Lord, send me a life partner now. Where do you think a life partner is going to come from the ground? Even a rhinoceros cannot get through that kind of wall. So remember that unreasonably high standards need to be compromised. If you have them, you have to break them down. Do not compromise on essential points. Do not compromise on essential points. If the person is worldly, carnal, you cannot compromise. There are certain points you cannot compromise. There are certain points you can compromise. You must learn to differentiate between those two points. Those two kinds of points. So there are essentials that you cannot afford to compromise. You compromise at your own doom. And you may suffer the rest of your life. There are certain points you cannot compromise. The others you can compromise. Learn to differentiate between the two. I know that Cho Yong-gi in the book, Fourth Dimension, talked about one lady who he sat down and he got her to list down all those points. Alright? Now, that is still not enough because the person even listed out all these other some things that I believe should be able to be compromisable. Okay? So you must take the teaching in the context. Some people have taken what is in that book and they have listed out, you know, all such detailed points, and you can pray specifically, but sometimes it must not be too specific. Understand that. Your specification may miss because you may not be hearing from the Holy Spirit, you may be hearing from your own soul. Just because in the past, when you were a child, that somebody who was Eurasian, you know, is your best friend, Pally. Then you grow up, subconsciously is inside you. Then you looking like partner put Eurasian. Other Shen cannot. Malaysian or something. So you put down that point because of your soul, not because of the Spirit of God. So there are certain points that should be compromisable. However, we will give you the opportunity that if God has to a certain extent spoken to you personally and specified the area, then you can list it down. The test of the pudding or the pudding is in the eating. That means that if at the age of 70, you look back and say, I wonder why not fulfill yet, then you know you missed it. But sorry, you just missed the boat. If you're in the Old Testament, it's still okay. After all, they lived to about 900 over years. So, remember that. So if you have missed in that area, you may find out too late, and by then it's too late. Now, we understand, we all know, that when it comes to life partners, you do have a certain time limit. Although I'm going to encourage each one of you, don't think that when you pass 30, abbe. I got 30 carat gold now. Abbe. Or don't think that you pass the age of 40, say, no more. I'm doomed to be single. I will live my life as a martyr. Don't have all these preconceived ideas. Because today, society puts a lot of pressure. Especially on the ladies. Society puts pressure on you. In some, depends on what kind of culture you come from. Some, you know, past 20, habis, finish already. Or some, past 30, finish already. Know that all these things are not in consideration, which comes to our third point. Third point. Right? Our second point. Now we lead into the third point now. It just leads into this now. Why some people find it difficult to find life partners? So the third area we have listed is natural barriers. Natural barriers. And under natural barriers, we have barriers of age. some people think the man must always be older than the lady. So they limit the binoculars. If they are 25, the binoculars only look for those 25 and 26, 27, 28, 29. Before them, or something. So they could just miss it. So some people think that the age gap must not be too large. And so they put all these self-imposed barriers which comes from society. I know one brother who married a sister 11 years gap, and the sister was older. But he had the ability and the capability to lead the family. And she had the submissiveness to submit to him. And they're going on very well in the ministry. So, age, natural barriers. See, when you look at the natural, you may miss God. You look at the spiritual, you will find God. Because God works in the spiritual realm. So, natural barriers sometimes prevent people. One of them is age. So, before they make friends, before they seriously consider someone as a life partner, they will try to check, hey, can I see your IC? Yeah? A skill of finding IC is to look at the date of birth. And then if they find that the date of birth is not to what is suitable for them, then they see the person less often. No, age barriers do not come in a spiritual atmosphere. Do not come in at all. As for me, I don't even consider that. When it comes to people, that is an area that is easily overcome. Easily overcome. Age barriers. Now I know that in the world, it is big. But you are not of the world. That area, there is no consideration. No consideration at all. So, that does not come into the picture. Natural barrier, age. Natural barrier, number two, of race. If you list it that, if you're Chinese, you say, I must only marry a Chinese, you need to be redeemed. Indian, and you say, I must only marry Indian, you also need to be redeemed. We have to check whether you're born again. Anyway, I believe you're born again, accepted Christ. But sometimes people have racial barriers. They look at the color of people's skin. By the way, do you know that even among the Chinese, there's light and dark and very dark? And do you know that among the Indians, there's dark, dark, darker, very, very light? So all these colors do not come into consideration. Do not come into consideration. It's just the outward coating. So, remember that. This is just racial prejudice coming in. The Bible says that neither male nor female, you better get yourself redeemed. That is why I do not encourage people to put down among the life partner for them what race. I got you all to do it just now. To purposely sort of shake you up at this time. So I could do more shaking. And knock it all off. You can put it as a compromisable factor. Put it that way. But don't put it as the essential. Put it as a compromisable. Because of course, we understand that if you cannot get used to Indian curry, and you don't want to suffer the rest of your life, Indian curry, then you put that point down. However, you can be wrong, because cooking styles can change. Can change. Right? So, even up to today, Amy loves to eat hot. I don't like to eat hot at all. And she loves it. And anyway, for certain reasons, she also don't like hot now. So I'm winning. So anyway, there is so sometimes she still has a little bit of cut chili there, and that's her, but she takes it. And I managed to get my children on my side. So Chris Min doesn't like hot too. So but anyway, when I'm in your home, I just eat anyway. It doesn't affect me. So these factors, natural barriers, are just natural. Or some people think about lifestyles and culture and all these. These are all redeemable. These all can be redeemable. Now, if you're very prejudiced and the other person may be very prejudiced and you're a different race, you may have some natural barriers to overcome. But because we are in a church where we believe people will grow out and grow spiritually very fast, all these barriers will be overcome very easily. Very easily. And sometimes through the process, they will grow very much by getting rid of all their racial prejudice. So we knock off barrier number two. The third natural barrier that comes in is on physical appearance. Some people always specify that God, the person's face must be very, very smooth. And so you look for a life partner not with a telescope, not with a binoculars, but with a magnifying glass. So let me check whether you're my life partner. So that is, well, we would allow some reasonable standard. Of course, if you don't want to, if you find it a tribulation to live with someone who doesn't bathe, then you have to set certain reasonable standards. And you don't want to have the ministry of washing or cleansing. So you set certain reasonable standards. So however, it is an area which many people set too high standards. Some brothers set a standard of physical appearance that only a Miss Universe can qualify. Some sisters set unreasonable high standards, only Mr. Universe can qualify. What they should do is let Mr. Universe marry Miss Universe and they marry their own people. Because it must be reasonable, and that is a point which I say is compromisable. Because physical appearance, with all the learning of the laws of the spirit, are changeable in time. After men and brothers, I speak to you first. After your wife gives birth, after your wife brings out all the children and go through both the stress of the children and yourself, she may not look the way you marry her after 20 years. Are you going to drop her off? You're not. So on the sister side, you may think that guy is a Mr. Handsome, but that guy could be a wolf in human skin. And do you know that many men who deceive ladies are very good at outward appearance but very poor in inward appearance? So, physical appearance is compromisable. And when people, this is where I'm going to put it false strong. when people come to know the Lord and grow in the Lord and learn the laws of divine help and fasting and prayer and love the Lord, do you know that almost everybody grows beautiful? Everybody have their own particular beauty that God puts on them in the Lord. You think about it very carefully. And the more you get to know the Lord, the more there's a sort of beauty that's on your life. That is detectable by others. So because this area is changeable, it is compromisable on physical beauty. So don't set your standards too high. And the fourth point on natural barriers is on education. Education. But sometimes people check if they are university graduate. They look for university graduate. But they forget that sometimes degrees can be bought for $1. And so they look for people with degrees. And I can tell you, some people without degrees are more intelligent, but they don't have the opportunity. Wow. I'm not putting down anyone of you who are doctorate or who are degree, but just want you to know that that paper degree you have is merely a recognition by a certain group of people, and it may not be recognized in a different realm. We have people who have a degree holders I have met who come to the seminary who could never succeed in the ministry because they don't have the ability. And in fact, I'm surprised. So one of them is a master's graduate, and the person could hardly analyze the Bible. So some people, they just do not have the opportunity to go into the same areas. So education and education qualifications, we in some cultures are very important, and I know among some cultures they will even go out of the way just to arrange for marriage for someone of the same qualification. So every time look for a life partner, they say, hey, you fail your MCE and pass. Wouldn't that be ridiculous to look for a partner that way? So it's wrong for us to put it in that way. It's wrong for us. However, to link up together, there must be certain things that are present in the brothers and the sisters, alright, which I'm going to touch on afterwards, all these barriers. But these are barriers which I say they are compromisable. Natural barriers. That's point number three. All these natural barriers are a hindrance to people finding their life partner. They are hindrance rather than a help, because all this leads to building walls so that they cannot see. Fourth reason why some people find it hard to find their life partner is that they are plainly disinterested. I mean, they just don't show interest. The Bible says you reap what you sow. You sow the life of a hermit, you reap hermit. You reap what you sow. So if you just keep having a disinterested attitude, and you are past 21, and you're goody goody holy holy, you are not like the other publicans, you may end up that way and may enroll in the 144,000 in the book of Revelation. Now if God call you to that kind of life, by all means we encourage you. But if you know that you're not meant to be single, you cannot afford to show disinterestedness. You have to show an interest in the area, and don't please pretend you're so holy that that area doesn't come into your mind. He said, I'll think about it when the time comes for me. Age 99, still haven't come. So disinterestedness is a barrier in people's lives. Don't fall overboard. Then you also disqualify. You know, people run from someone like that, especially the good guys. So you only have the bad guys. But have reasonable consideration in all these areas. We have to make an effort to grow spiritually. If you want to get to know the Bible, you have to spend more time on the Bible. You want to grow more in faith, you have to spend more time meditating on faith. You want to learn more about prosperity, you want to be blessed in prosperity, you have to sit down and learn the laws of prosperity and how to practice them. We reap what we sow. And if you want to reap the best friend, you have to sow friendship. You reap what you sow. You sow loneliness, you reap loneliness. You sow friendships, you reap friendships. So there is a barrier if people become disinterested, and yet at the same time they complain and say, God, you know, I don't know why this is that way. And then they complain to people and say, I don't know why God is not working out. When they are not making an effort, they are making a lot of effort complaining, but no effort making friends. So these are four barriers I have listed down that have hindered people from finding their life partner. And praise God, tonight we knock all of them down. And for your information, this is now a commercial break. Our church have a license to register people. And so it's free registration. You pay the cents, we do the praying. Commercial break over. Anyway, we have our standard. Before we marry people, they have a counseling class with me, etc. But we want you to know, some people don't realize that our church is licensed to marry people, but it is. Then we go to two main characteristics that the ladies look for in a man and that the men look for in a lady that must be present, which is a good point. So let it be present. For the brothers, sisters always look for a brother who is, number one, accomplished. They will never, a serious, good Christian girl will never get interested in a brother who does not know where he's going in life, who does not know what he's doing in life, who has no direction in his life. You would never expect a good Christian girl to be interested in you. Although some not so good ones may be interested in you. But all the good ones will not consider you at all. So take note of that. So women look for in a man. In the olden days, perhaps they do you know that not all ladies are attracted to Mr. Braun, the one with big muscles? Do you know not all ladies are attracted to that? Some run. So some men think that attracts them, you know, they do all their time on woodworker. Then after they finish the year training, here they come, Mr. Braun. And then the lady see that, yeah! Gorilla! Woo! Run! They got that from the world. And the world got that from the cavemen. When in the olden days, the world's philosophy of how the world came about was a caveman having a club that the strongest survived, so the women looked for the strongest so that they could survive. No, they got all the wrong things from the world. But today, what actually they look for? Actually, you don't take the method, you take the principle. What is the principle behind that? That they have is accomplishment. See, if really there was those cavemen that day, behind it is the principle of accomplishment. That man is accomplished. They could defend, they could protect. So, for brothers, If they want to be suitable candidates, they must be accomplished. Or if you're not accomplished, at least you're accomplishing. You have a direction in your life, you have a goal in your life, you know what you're doing about life, you're not floating around in life. Butterflies never get married. They only end up in cocoon. Remember, the sisters, and the good Christian sisters, will look for a brother that knows what he's doing with his life, how he's handling his life, and not someone who's floating along with life. And the second thing that the ladies will look for in a brother is this point here is what I call one that they could lean on generally. One that can protect them. In other words, one who could take authority. Take authority. One who is in command. In command. One who could relate to them as someone who takes charge. I counsel many people and many sisters who are frustrated sometimes with their life partner. It's because they say, I don't know why I have to make all the decisions. That person doesn't want to make that decision. Complaints. This comes out from all the counseling things that I've counseled. And they said that, you know, all these are disappointing. I counsel married people who complain, problems that came out later. Most of it is this, it grounds down to this, the man doesn't want to take charge. The lady has to take charge. And she finds it frustrating. All the frustrations in many areas. So in general, they want one man who is in command, but don't over command. No, when she comes in, you say attention, and then she turn left. Don't overdo it. One who knows how to take control of the situation. And I add this third point that. Third point I mentioned too. Here's the third one, that a man must have a general neatness about them. Brothers, if you are going to a certain extent be a suitable candidate for a good Christian sister, you would have to have certain amount of neatness. If you always come to church with your hair like that, probably the girl who gets attracted to you, her hair will look this way. Light attracts light, birds of a feather, they flock together. So you have to have a reasonable amount of neatness. Now that is tied up back to accomplishment, all this, because your lifestyle demonstrates your accomplishment. And so, there's a general neatness, I would say. I don't say that you have to be Mr. Super Handsome or something. But there has to be a general neatness about you. General neatness. Reasonable. And take the hint from sometimes what sisters tell you. You know, sisters can keep house better than us. And generally, they can do better than us, although we have not examined all of their rooms here yet. I do know that some brothers are very neat too. And myself, I'm just average. I won't consider myself that neat. You go to my house, my office is pala, all kinds of things, all directions. But in work and in certain areas, I'm neat. Just average, but. I will consider the sisters surpass us when it comes to neatness. So it's reasonable to consider that the ladies who deal in all these areas of pretty things, petite things, and nitty gritty things, when they look at the person, they will also demand some standards. So that means if you're always going around with your janggut too long, your hair all upside down, I'm sorry, you may be the one God has for them. But your outward man is throwing people off. And so these are reasonable areas. Now for the sisters. What the brothers to look for in the sisters? For a good life partner and a good companion. One of the things I consider probably is quite known to a certain extent is a general sense of submission. I had this good friend. Her name was Annie in the seminary, and she wears glasses, and she's of average beauty, and she won't be very beautiful, but she's average. She won't be considered ugly. There's no doubt, but she. She's long hair, and most men like long hair. So, wow, you just gave a secret out. It's inside here, right? I haven't given that point. That was just a slight point came out. But she even walks like a sergeant, and she's very authoritative. She just commands, you know, the way she talks. She's a very pleasant, friendly sister. I find her likable, you know. And, you know, we used to joke together. I just like to make friends. I learned to make friends by that time. And she's a basically a very nice sister. But she is in command. Either she has to marry a very submissive man. Oh, she'll never find the kind of person she may want. So God has made a woman such that they submit, they yield. Now some of them may be very authoritative, very commanding. I believe it has to do with upbringing, childhood, and the difficulties, the things you came through. Many times I met and talked with the tough business women, I find they had to be that way because sometimes some of them, their husband desert them. If they don't be tough, they break down. They had to, circumstances force them, and they had to make their own living. They had to fight, they had to survive in life. So they learn to be tough. But originally, God intended a woman to be what Paul says, the glory of a man. This in the Bible. To be that which a man admires, to be that which is submissive, not one that when see the man say, attention! The man goes, commanding. And so, a good Christian brother will normally look for this in a sister that is submissive. They behave like a sister. Because some brothers behave like sisters, and some sisters behave like brothers. So they behave like sisters, and that doesn't mean about your dressing, all right? I know that sometimes, you know, some ladies just wear jeans all the time. You look at Amy Grant; she hardly wears skirts. In fact, she doesn't look good in a skirt. She wears pants all the time so long that if you see a picture of her in a skirt, you say, cannot be. You know, she doesn't look like an immigrant anymore. So, that does nothing to do with lifestyle or being tomboyish. But it's more the character that comes in. However, we are not talking of you sisters going over extreme, become lembek. That also will drive a person off. Because when a man says, you know, can I see you the next day? Say, yeah. That is overdone. The only type of of virtue attract is the one who say, okay lah, and you both can go and have a duet after you get married. Don't overdo it, alright? You have to have a certain amount of being yourself, being the person you are, and making certain decisions in your life. But you know, you can make a decision without being overly commanding. For example, like, I'm in charge of this church, but people don't feel my authority on them. But I'm in authority, they know it. But they don't feel it. So there is, it's a matter of style. It's not a matter of whether there is authority. There is authority. And they know business and decisions are decisions. But it's a matter of style. If I use and adapt a different style to run the church, people will feel the authority. Same structure. It's a matter of style. Not a matter of the whether the authority is there or not. So the same way as a person can be a prophet. But some people who are prophets, they will claim authority all the time. And it turns people off. You know, in the ministry, it turns people off. Those who keep claiming to be these people, people run from them. But some of those who don't claim, who function in it, they attract and draw people. So the same kind of laws operate. And in this realm, when we talk about how that, when we talk about the ladies being submissive, it does not mean you are incapable of making certain decisions on yourself, or incapable of influencing a brother or sister. You could still be in command in certain areas and make decisions where you know better. Where you know better. Because marriage is 100% preposition. And so there are certain decisions that a man has to listen to the wife, if the wife knows better. I mean, it's reasonable. So in some families, the wife keeps better than accounts than the man. So the wife has to keep it. In some families, the man keeps better than accounts than the wife. So it's reasonable to let whoever functions better in that area function in it. But it's a matter of style. You can do it with a submissiveness. It's an attitude, not just a method. It is an inward attitude. You could still be in command without having that overbearingness coming forth. So the second area is that most brothers, in fact I would say 100% of them, all good Christian brothers, they would also to a certain extent look for beauty in a Christian sister. So you may not have the best nose in the world or the best eyes in the world, but if you keep noticing that one mole that is always in your corner, until your mouth turns this way, your eyes turn this way, then that one small little thing has caused your whole face to look ugly. When if you could ignore it and look to Jesus and let Jesus shine through you, that is not even seen. Amen. So I believe, as I said earlier, that as a person grows in Christ, they would have their beauty that comes forth in their own life. They will have their own beauty that comes forth in their life. And that is how in the sisters, men, the good Christian brothers would look for certain amount of beauty in their life. You don't have to look like Miss Universe. Not every good brother is attracted to a Miss Universe. But you have to have a certain amount of what I call charm and beauty. Being sister-like in your way. Right? It's a charm and beauty that you have as sisters that God has adorned you with. And that would be one of the factors that the brothers will look for in a sister. Just as a sister looks for a man they need, so they look for a sister with beauty. And beauty, as has been said, is in the eyes of the beholder. Sometimes people fall in love and say, have you seen a sister Zach? I say, no. She's the prettiest in the world. You say, is it? And the way the person describes it sounds like Miss Galaxy. And so the way he described. By the time the person comes, say, oh, she looks like plain Jane. And what happened? Somehow, somewhere, the person found beauty in that person. And so, as long as you just be yourself, just be yourself. And although I made a statement that most Christian brothers look for long hair in a woman, so some of the ladies start getting worried now. But it is, we cannot find it very hard to define long. Because for some men, long is up to the feet. Some men, long is up to the back. Some men, long is up to the shoulders. Some men, long is up to after covering your ears. So it depends. For a man that looks at you, you Bryner, long is having hair. As long as I have hair, that is long. So it's just a reasonable length. And just something that looks as you are. I had a video of Amy Grant, and she what are you going? You're reading my mind, are you? I have a video of Amy Grant, two tapes on her singing, you know. One is A Circle of Love, how she came into the singing ministry. The other is Amy Grant in concert. Beautiful songs. And in one of them, A Circle of Love, she has not caused her hairstyle, her recent hairstyle, you know, the one that zoom down this way. Have you seen the hairstyle that way? Zoom down, I'm looking for any samples here. No, I better not look for samples here. So, people start calling it Amy Grant. She looks nice in her present hairstyle. But the earlier tape, the first tape, you know, that featured her family, she was with her family, and before her hair, you know, was that way, she looks very plain. Very plain. You see her very, very nice looking, all this in the covers and all that, so the cassette. But she looks very plain. What happened? She did something. She found the best that suit her. Right? So I'm bringing that point for the sisters to let them know that don't copy one style. Because there may be a particular way and style that is most suitable for you. That sometimes, you know, people get go on by the fashions of the world. And just because somebody started, you know, tying the hair a little bit down here, so they say, oh, tie a hair a little bit down here, but it doesn't look good on them. It looks good on some, but doesn't look good on others. You know, the ladies, sometimes they have different styles, and as they're growing up, they have ponytails, and as they grow older, then their hairstyle comes tie a little tiny ponytail here. And, so that looks good on some, but it doesn't look good on others. No two ladies are alike. No two persons are the same. So, each one you have to pray, and the best beautician is the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. He tell you how to dress. He tell you what is most suitable for you. Don't think that just because brothers are going for a sister, say, oh, I must look like that. Okay, next day wear same dress, same hairstyle, same lipstick, same everything the same, same shoes, everything the same. Only problem, you look like a clown. When you try to be like the other person, don't try to be like another person, just be yourself. Just be yourself in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. So, brothers, look for individual characteristics. And it also depends on that area. But it's a general thing that all good Christian brothers do to a certain extent, still look for the beauty in the woman. Which is a reasonable standard, but don't push it beyond. So having considered the fact, we have to consider this now. Four we have considered four reasons why some people get married and find it hard to find life partners. So these are those points which are already covered, so I just list them down. Of those who find life partners easily and just flows along and meets them easily. So we put it positively this time. So number one, those who generally get along well with people and knows everybody. You know that sometimes people behave in such a way, they are good complainers and they are good backbiters. Do you know that those people also seldom get married? They turn people off. They tend to be all in the world by themselves and no one seems to be attracted to them because of their behavior. So, number one, those who seem to find life partners easily and marry easily based on getting to know people who are already married, right? And seeing the way they behave and the way they flow along. This is based on my own experience looking and watching people who get married, who are already married, so we could look at what they have gone through. There are people who generally get along well with people. They get well with everybody. And they are likable, generally likable. And these are the people who also find life partners easily. They are not snobbish or stuffy or, you know, wearing a stuff shirt all the time and starch so thick that you could not move your hand. Oh, all these areas, they are just likable, easy to get along. And I hope all the other 4 points you're taking into consideration if you're guilty of any of the four earlier points. Because if you're keeping all to yourself, you find it hard to find a life partner and you've got no one to blame but yourself. So just generally be a person that mix around well with people and get along with them. No ulterior motives, just being good friends with the body of Christ. That may take effort, but the first time you do it, it's just like witnessing. First time you witness is very difficult. Second time it's less difficult, and then it gets easier and easier until it's second nature to you. You could witness easily. So the same way we're making friends, just being good friends with people, we have to just start doing it, and then it becomes easy. Start being likable. Second is those who have reasonable standards, they did not have exceptionally ridiculous standards. Reasonable, everything is just reasonable with them. They give and take, they compromise to a certain extent. Some of those who I counsel before they married, I ask them, did both of you meet each other's standards? The answer is no, not all the standards, but they have compromised. But some of them who I counsel have told me that in the end they found that that person actually does meet the standard but in a different way. So there are those who do find their life partners are those who did not have unreasonable standards, but who have reasonable standards. Just reasonable. They have standards, but it's reasonable. The third point is you reap what you sow. You sow friendship, you harvest your best friend in the end. Just being friends with people. Number four, these have reasonable appearance. They are not sloppy, they are not disheveled, they are not people that turn others off just by their appearance. They have reasonable appearance. So they have reasonable care of their own temples, the temple, the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So supposing that you find someone who is, you think, your life partner, these are the areas that are checkers along the way. Of course, number one is, well, how do I know that it's the will of God? We both like each other. How do we know that it's the will of God? These are just markers along the way in the right direction. Number one, both confirm it. Of course, if one side thinks that you're the one for me, the other side says, no, you're not the one for me, then they can never, ever meet. And you cannot force yourself on another person. You cannot demand and say, God, show it to me, you know. You cannot demand. You have to allow the other person to check themselves up. So the most important, both must sense it personally with the Lord, without pressure. Sometimes you need to give time. I give Amy time. I sense it first, but she did not sense it. The reason? Because I was not in the type of situation which she expected to find her life partner. She was in the Chinese team, I was in the English team. And at that time in seminary, I don't know all these things. I did not take care of my appearance much. I just looked like a schoolboy when I was there. And I always go around wearing my jeans. And you hardly see me wear jeans anymore. In fact, I don't have any jeans except one old pair that sometimes I wear for overnight. So I always wear like my, they call it my uniform, my red jeans. And you thought blue jeans, huh? So, and my blue shirt that was given to me by a brother who works in a factory, so it was a factory uniform shirt. I had two sets each, and so I always exchange every time, save washing. So I didn't look like the suitable candidate she wanted me to be. But today, nowadays, she tell me I dress like what she wanted me to be. But she didn't tell me that. I grew into it. But my style of dressing in those days, I mean, it was just the way I was. I mean, I just couldn't care about appearance. But she said, today I dress the way she would want the man in her life to dress. So you see, I grew into it. So you must have confirmation from both. I allow her. And the Lord has to speak to her many times. And it took her quite some time before she confirmed. And so, after that, these are the other checkers. That number two, both of the spiritual life continue to grow. If it starts to drop, then you have to check your relationship. If your church attendance drop, if your function in church activities, all these start dropping because you both started coming together, it starts to point that this is not the will of God. Because if it is the will of God, it will continue going uphill, not downhill. That is why those who get involved with carnal Christians or with unbelievers, one of the first signs, they start dropping off church attendance, they start dropping off Christian activities, they start going off less and less spiritual. You know it is not the will of God. Now, they can make their own choice, but they're going to pay the price for it. Nobody does such a mistake and later don't regret. They regret. So, spiritual growth continues to grow. So, these are the markers along the way. Third point, there is general harmony. Now, let me explain what general harmony is. There are three stages in the getting to know stage. And the three stages are these. The first stage is attraction. You like each other. You find a lot of things in harmony. It is not the general harmony yet. The second stage of the relationship is when the negative points start coming up. The sharp edges start coming up. So, at that time, when those things that are not so likable in the other person start coming up, as you get to know each other, these parts will come. Then at that point, you really start questioning, is this the will of God? I mean, here we are, there's some things we disagree, and then you have your first quarrel. Or your first disagreement. Or from that time onwards, your 10th one to the nth degree by the binomial theorem. Whatever it is, that is the second stage of the relationship. You cannot be everything agreeable. There will be certain point and disagreements will come forth. The third stage of the relationship, and then they are more ready to get married, is it? When they have found everything in the person that they like, they found everything that in the person that they don't like, and yet at the third stage, they still love the person. They are more ready to get married. The first stage, they find everything they like. Second stage, they find everything they don't like. Almost want to walk out. Then the third stage, they sense, I still love this person. God has put that love there, and God confirms that will in my life. then you know that is the love of God flowing. That is true love coming out, not just infatuation. That is why those Hollywood marriages will never last, because they are based only on what they like in the person, not what they don't like. So when I counsel people, one of the first things I ask them, have they ever have a misunderstanding? If their answer is no, I say go quarrel first and come back. You see, because in a marriage there will be a lot of things you will have to discuss and may disagree. And if you don't develop the skill of coming back together after a discussion that you did not agree, of coming together after a quarrel, you will never survive the marriage. Because in a marriage, all these things will come out even more seriously. And there are three stages in a marriage which is not for us here to cover. Anyway, that is the general harmony must be there, point number three. So in some cases, all they do is quarrel. Then you have to check whether it's God's will really or not. It cannot be. I mean, every time come together, fight. Wow, fist fight. And word fight and sword fighting. All the karate come out. You really have to check whether it's the will of God. That means, in spite of all the three stages and all the some quarrelings here and there, misunderstanding, that generally still harmony. That is what I mean. General harmony. Then, at least it starts pointing to God's will. If all the time, 90% keep quarreling, something wrong. You have to really check whether it's the will of God. Re-examine that. So, on the fourth point, they are not withdrawn from other people. You can tell if a relationship is building them into better person or destroying them. Because when two people start feeling they are God's will for their life and start drawing away from the crowd, being by themselves, and disregard the others, there is an unhealthy sign. And usually it has more to do with lust and attraction than the love for each other. And I find a lot of young people tend to do that. It's an obvious thing. This is nothing to do with God's will. It's just plain infatuation. Infatuation will cause you to be withdrawn with a person, and all you want is with the person and not with the others. That's one sign of infatuation. Although sometimes the feelings of it feels like love. Because when you're involved, that is one of the signs that it's not the will of God. And a lot of young people fall because of that. If they could check themselves and realize this point is a pointer in the wrong direction. The right, that direction means that even though you found each other to be the life partner, you mix with other people still. You do not withdraw. You're not withdrawn. You still mix with the other people. You still flow with them. You still function together. It's a healthy relationship, not a withdrawn one. And so that is point number four. Point number five is, of course, peace in your heart. You feel peaceful about the other person all the time. Times when you quarrel, you feel trouble. In fact, when you're in disharmony, the inward peace is not there. Now there are three types of peace. There is a peace in the heart, there is a peace in the mind, and a peace in the circumstances. Circumstances peace is ruled out. That one has no consideration at all. But that is why circumstances, like sometimes people are meant for each other, but circumstances doesn't seem peaceful. You know, this person disagree, that person disagree, but they still marry anyway. So circumstances does not come into the picture, because not everybody moves in the spirit or hears the voice of God and knows the will of God. And there is a peace of your mind, peace of the heart. We are talking about the peace of the heart. Sometimes the mind may be peaceful, but the heart is troubled. You have to listen to the heart than to the mind. Philippians 4:7 talk about the peace of God that garrisons your heart and your mind. So the peace is in both areas. And what happens is, as you flow together, you have both the peace in your heart and it floods into your mind. You really feel peaceful in all these things. The peace of God. Six is that both your ministries start having an added factor. There's a sure sign already. Is it both of you coming together as life partners are going to come not just for each other but to better serve the Lord together. So there will start to be signs that the ministry of both increases because they come together. And not decreases. It increases. So these are pointers along the way that it's the will of God and in the right direction. If you don't have these pointers, you have to re-examine it. So we will go to God in prayer, get the question, answer them, and we will close. Father God, we praise you and thank you for this time. And we thank you, Father God, that you continue to lead us, guide us into your perfect will. You know the heart of each one of us. Deep in our hearts, we really want to just know you and do your will and not our will. So, Father God, we continue to pray that your will may be done in the lives of each one who have heard these words. That your direction in your lives becomes clearer. That you use these truths to renew their minds and guide them towards your perfect will. And we ask that only your perfect will be done. Not even your permissive will. We ask that your perfect will be done in each life. And let there be a special blessing and anointing that flow forth upon these here and those who hear these words. That anointing would cause them to be able to discern your will. And when it is not your will, cause the sensation to be so strong that they know that it's not your will. When it's your will, cause the confirmation to be so strong that they know you're leading and the right direction to move. We thank you, Father, for your blessing on each one. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll sing a song and we'll collect back all the questions. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. That includes the life partner. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Just start passing them to the front, all your questions. And all these things shall be added on. But some of you could just collect them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, very few questions. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Registration form. Hallelujah. 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 Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Knock. Sometimes you gotta knock. Be open. Please knock at the right door.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.